So do you remember ever being lost? Were you ever lost? Or maybe in a dark place? When you're lost or in a dark place, the thing you want most of all if you're lost is a direction, right? Someone to come and tell you which way to go. A for sure answer, yes, this is it. Or if you're in the dark, I talked about last week being in the dark in the desert of Mexico, and my courage was my tiny flashlight. Just one light makes a big difference, right? The thing we want is really faith. We want to believe that something that we hope for is real. We want the thing that will motivate us to keep going, something that helps us take another step to not give up. We want faith. Last week, we talked about one thing we can do to find faith: turn, right? Many times we get stuck in a cycle of the same and the same and the same. And the only way to get out of the circle of the same is actually to just turn. And sometimes even just one degree can make a difference in the long term, right? You turn just a little bit and it can take you to a whole new place. So one of the ways we find faith is to simply turn. And I encourage you all to turn even just a little bit more towards Jesus and see where that takes you. You may be surprised. Today we're going to talk about another word, look. Look, you know, there's this thing we do every day that for the most part we don't think much about, and that is that we see, right? Some of our congregation thinks about this more than others. Our friend Barb Johnson, she uses every ounce of the very limited sight she has every day in order to see, right? In fact, last week she showed me she had a glass jar that had a glass eye in it that she was bringing to show the kids down in Sunday school about how it is that she sees and doesn't see, right? To help them understand why it is she has a hard time seeing. I love, I'm awed by Barb's commitment all the time to live fully, even though her sight is a little less than some of ours. In fact, she lives a more full life than some regular seeing people that I know. And she's on vacation right now in Phoenix, posting pictures. Love it. I'm also awed regularly that Barb can often see things that some of us who can physically see, she sees better than we do. Here's the thing. How we look at things affects us in deep ways. And the more years I've lived and the more people I have talked to about small and large things, the more I've come to realize that all of us see the world through filters. All different kinds of filters, right? Now, today's social media apps makes this a really fun illustration. Some of you who have Snapchat or Instagram or Facebook know that you can take a picture and add a filter, right? So that your picture looks different than it did before. A filter changes how you look at the final photo. Let me show you what I mean. Here's a fun thing that my daughter helped me put together this week, and several of you helped me put together about filters and how we see.
Keep me where the light is. Will you keep Give me where the light is. Give me where the light is. Give me that earth and breeze. Rolling down the window, baby, to the beach. All my problems chasing me. Where I'm going, they can't be. And if they come, I will go to somewhere that's never cold. Might just stay.
These are funny ones, but all of us carry around a lot of filters that we don't even realize we are seeing through on a daily basis. There's filters of our personality. Do you know some of us naturally look at things in certain ways because of our personalities? Some of us look at change and run the other way. Some of us look at change and start jumping up and down in excitement. Some of us want nothing more than to sit at home and read books and work around the house. And others of us are waiting around for the next adventure when we get to find something new. Some of us look at a new circumstance and think about every possible thing that could go wrong. And some of us look at a circumstance and think, how wonderful if it all goes right. Some of us walk into a room full of people and think immediately, new friends. And other of us walk into a room full of people we don't know and just want to turn back around and leave. We see the same things through different filters, for good or for bad. We also see through the filter of our past experiences. This is in small and big ways. Let's say you went to a restaurant once and the food was cold and the people were rude. The next time someone mentions that restaurant, what are you going to think? The food will be cold and the people will be rude, right? Or maybe you come to a church and you can't figure out which door to get into and where to go and nobody is friendly to you. And the next time someone says that church, not so much. Sadly, this past filter goes even deeper when we talk about our past hurts. When a family member or a friend, someone you have loved and trusted, hurts you, it changes the way you see things. It gives you a filter. You don't look at others the same way anymore. You don't look at the possibilities of life the same way. It's kind of like you maybe started off seeing the world as a sunny day, and now there's this gray filter. And the more things that happen, the darker and darker that filter gets. And then we start seeing darkness and danger at every turn, and we get really scared. I've walked that path too, even in church. When the people you think you should be able to trust are not trustworthy, it puts a filter on you. And there are more filters, filters of fear, filters of optimism, filters of specific expectations that you have, logic, I'm going to make all of this make sense, science, that has to be first. It has to make sense in a scientific way. Those of us who look for patterns, those of us who look for injustice, they're filters in which we look through the world. And those filters don't just affect how we see and how we think, but they also affect how we choose and how we act and how we live. So here's the thing. There is another filter we can choose and ask for. It's what I call the faith filter. The writers of the Bible had this filter. I mentioned last week we'd be looking at some passages in Philippians. Paul wrote the book of Philippians, and let me tell you, he had every reason to have a lot of negative filters in his life. Now, first of all, his natural personality was probably a perfectionist. It's what made him a good Pharisee, a good religious leader first, right? So he saw the law and saw this is where people are and this is where the law is and we have to match it up. And he was very, very intense about that. So intense that when Jesus came and he heard people were following Jesus instead of the way that the Pharisees wanted them to, he started going and trying to kill the people or arrest the people who were following Jesus. Had this perfectionist mentality. And then something amazing happened to Paul on his way to go find these followers of Jesus. A light shone on his eyes. And suddenly he saw through a new filter, the filter of Jesus. Jesus showed up to him and actually blinded him. And suddenly he didn't see the world the same way as he did before. He saw Jesus, and everything changed. So he went around telling people about this Jesus he saw instead of trying to kill and arrest all the people. And then he got more filters, should have, right? Because as he's trying to tell people about him, he started getting persecuted. He got thrown in jail several different times. And you would think, really, after the first time of getting thrown in jail, wouldn't you give up, right? The filter goes down, protect myself. But Paul, he had seen Jesus, and now he's looking through everything through this faith filter. It's all about Jesus. I walk in faith. This is what I do. One of the times that he was sitting in prison, he wrote this letter to the Philippians. He wrote this letter that explains the faith filter that he looked at things through. So watch this video of a visual of seeing things in different ways, of looking around, and hear the scripture of Paul writing to his followers about how he looked at his circumstances. You're going to hear it first in Swahili and then in English because we like to honor everyone who is here. So watch and listen.
Sala yangu ni hii. Naomba upendo wenu uzidi kuongezeka zaidi na zaidi pamoja na ujuzi wa kweli na busara ya kila namna ili muweze kuchagua jambo lililo bora. Hapo ndipo mtakuwa safi na bila lawama yoyote ile katika siku ile ya Kristo. Maisha yenu yatajazwa mambo yote yaliyo kweli bora ambayo Yesu Kristo mwenyewe anaweza kuwajalieni kwa ajili ya utukufu na sifa ya Mungu. Ndugu zangu, napenda mfahamu kwamba mambo yote yaliyonipata yamesaidia sana kuieneza Injili. Kutokana na hayo, walinzi wote wa ikulu pamoja na wengine wote hapa wanafahamu kwamba niko kifungoni kwa sababu mimi namtumikia Kristo. Na huku kuweko kwangu kifungoni kumewafanya ndugu wengi kuwa na imani kwa Bwana, hata wanazidi kuwa hodari katika kuutangaza ujumbe wa Mungu bila hofu. Kweli, baadhi yao wanamhubiri Kristo kwa sababu wana wivu na ni watu wagomvi. Lakini wengine wanamhubiri Kristo kwa nia nzuri. Hawa wanafanya hivyo kwa upendo, kwani wanajua kwamba Mungu amenipa jukumu hili la kuitetea Injili. Hao wengine wanamtangaza Kristo kwa mashindano na si kwa moyo mnyofu, wakidhani kwamba wataniongezea mateso yangu kifungoni. Haidhuru, Mimi nafurahi ikiwa tu watu wanamhubiri Kristo kwa kila njia, iwe ni kwa nia nzuri au kwa nia mbaya.
This is my prayer, that your love might become even more and more rich with knowledge and all kinds of insight. I pray this so that you will be able to decide what really matters, and so you will be sincere and blameless on the day of Christ. I pray that you will then be filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes from Jesus Christ, in order to give glory and praise to God. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that the things that have happened to me have actually advanced the gospel. The whole Praetorian Guard and everyone else knows that I'm in prison for Christ. Most of the brothers and sisters have more confidence through the Lord to speak the word boldly and bravely because of my jail time. Some certainly preach Christ with jealous and competitive motives, but others preach with good motives. They are motivated by love because they know that I'm put here to give a defense of the gospel. The others preach Christ because of their selfish ambition. They are insincere, hoping to cause me more pain while I'm in prison. What do I think of this? Just this. Christ is proclaimed in every possible way, whether from dishonest or true motives. I'm glad, and I continue to be glad.
That's a faith filter, huh? So Paul sits in prison and he prays that all of them would be able to have new insight, that they would see life in a different way, that their knowledge would get deeper and deeper and their love would get deeper and deeper. And then he says, you know what? You're all worried about me being here in prison? Don't worry about me. Jesus is getting preached. So what were his two faith filters? First, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, Paul had lived a really good moral life, and he realized even that was not really what it was about. It was about Jesus. And he was so happy that Jesus' name got preached, that Jesus' message got out. He didn't even care if he was sitting in prison. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Jesus was life. That's what he looked at his life through. And the second one is another one he wrote in a different book that he, or letter that he wrote in Romans 8:28, that something bad can turn into something good. Paul believed that. Clearly he believed it. He sat in prison. That was not a good thing. And he said, you know what? I'm just trusting that God is at work. And it's all right. Something bad can be something good. So I don't worry. I rejoice. He even used that word, rejoice. That's a faith filter, right? That's a different way to look at our circumstances. So how did he get there? He had this awakening, right? He's met Jesus. Jesus showed up to him. Here's the crazy thing about faith, and I hope it will be freeing for some of you. There are some things you can do to get faith and some things you can't. You can't make Jesus show up. You can't. I do, however, think you can ask him to show up. I don't think you can create an experience with Jesus. I do, however, think you can look for him. And I don't think you can create faith. But I do think you can receive it. You might, however, need to look. You might need to seek. You might need to ask. You might need to unclench your fists and open your hands. Jesus has a way of surprising us by showing up when we start to look for him. And for those of us who have once seen Jesus like Paul did, Listen, life is still going to throw you darkness and confusion and a fork in the road. It will. So in those moments, that's when we look again and we start seeking and asking and opening our hands and saying, Jesus, will you give me a faith filter for this circumstance too? Remember that the Jesus who showed up the first time to you is still the Jesus who's with you now. He is still the way, the truth, and the life. For every dark place, every confusion, every turn in the road. And he's still doing the work of turning something bad into something good. I was writing this sermon in a hotel this week. And mostly I was in my hotel room in the quiet trying to think and pray. But eventually I got hungry and I had to leave my hotel room. And I went down to the common area where they had a restaurant of sorts. And it didn't take long for a woman a couple of tables away from me to start losing it on the telephone. And I am not using that term literally. She was losing it. And there were only a couple other people in the restaurant. So even if I didn't want to listen, I had to, right? So I'm listening to her first sound a little bit irritated and then angry and then guilt-tripping someone. I was pretty sure it was her children by the way she was talking. There was a lot of strong language, a lot of, but I don't want this to happen to you. And she got more and more emotional. Eventually she was crying. But if something happens to you and I don't want this to happen, she was just crazy. And then clearly someone else got on the phone and she changed into this angry voice, more swearing than I've heard in one place in one time in a long time. Just reaming out this other person. She went from tears and irritation to anger. It was craziness. And all I was thinking was, I just want to write my sermon. This lady is interrupting my thinking. Listen, as a preacher, as someone who sits and stands up here every week, I want you to know how much I wrestle over the things that I say from this place. I don't ever want to say something that I don't believe myself. It'd be dishonest, and I'm not really about that life. I don't ever want to say something because it's the church thing to say or the expected thing to say. And I'm going to tell you something. In my hotel room, right before I had gone down to that restaurant area, I had been wrestling with the truths that I have just written. I had gotten to that part of reading Philippians and saying, thinking about, would I rejoice if Jesus was preached, even if my life was suffering? Like, can I really say that that's okay? Do I really believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life? Do I believe that? Can I stand up front and honestly say it? I had been wrestling and praying and kind of pacing in my room. And then Jesus showed up in the form of a woman in a restaurant. I had a moment where I saw, that's a picture of my life without Jesus. I would be the person run over by emotion. I would be the person who would be trying to control everyone and everything around me. I would. Still have that tendency now and then. That's where I would be if it weren't for Jesus. Jesus has made all the difference for me. He is my life. And I can't say any words to convince any one of you of that. I can just give my own testimony. I can just say, yeah, Jesus really is that. I can't convince you, but I can pray for you. I can tell you about it and tell you some ways that I've found him. That's what I try to do when I get up here on Sunday morning. I try to share the things that I have learned and experienced that I hope will help others. And I can invite you to turn and to look for Jesus in your life, to ask, to seek, to open your hands. He's promised that when we seek him, we will find him. Jesus does change everything. Look for him.